Welcome back to Murder on Music Row, where every story unfolds with the weight of a haunting melody and silence reveals the deepest clues. I'm your host, Emily, guiding you deeper into the heart of one of Nashville's most brutal and unsolved mysteries, the Tanning Bed Murders. Before we delve into this episode, I urge those new to our series to listen to part one, setting the stage for the chilling narrative we continue to unravel. Last episode, we introduced you to Melissa Chilton and Tiffany Campbell, two vibrant young women whose lives were brutally snuffed out on February 22, 1996, while working at Exotic Tan for Men. This establishment, acting as a tanning salon, was actually a facade for an adult entertainment operation where private exotic dances were offered. It was here, in an employees-only break room, that the women met their horrific end, collectively suffering nearly 100 stab wounds in a crime that shook the foundation of Music City. Fast forward to February 2013, on the cusp of the 17th anniversary of this horrific event, a breakthrough emerges. Gail Chilton, Melissa's mother, receives a life-altering call from Sergeant Pat Pastiglione, leader and beacon of persistence for Nashville's cold case unit. He had news from California State Prison in Vacaville. They had finally found the person responsible for her daughter's death. Patrick Lamonte Streeter, a name tied to the past of one of the victims, had been indicted on two counts of premeditated first-degree murder. While this development marked a pivotal moment in the investigation, it's crucial to note that an indictment is not a conviction. Our journey through this story is not to assert guilt, but to explore the winding path the case has followed. Gail's reaction to the news was one of overwhelming relief, a moment of peace after nearly two decades of agonizing uncertainty. Gail told the Nashville Scene, "It was calming and spiritual, like a wave that went through my body, from my head to my toes." One mother feeling peace after 17 years, and another moments from the same. Tiffany's mother, Deborah Edmonds, who had been taking life day by day, saw a glimmer of hope on the horizon. "There's an end in sight for us, and there's hope." Yet the path to justice was more complicated than it seemed. Streeter was serving time in California for unrelated crimes, a 12-year prison term for a series of violent robberies. This sentence delayed his extradition to face charges in Tennessee. According to a Fox 17 news article, Streeter said it was very shocking and pretty devastating when he was charged. His arrest sparked a flurry of activity, including an official press conference where Nashville police credited investigative work, interviews, and scientific evidence for the breakthrough. Metro Nashville Police Department Chief Steve Anderson said that one of Nashville's most notorious murders had been solved. Chief Anderson said, "The motto of cold case units across the country is, never give up." They worked diligently to uncover new pieces of the investigative puzzle, as well as put into place those pieces developed by other officers over the past 17 years. Both Gail Chilton and Deborah Edmonds stood as pillars of strength, ready to seek justice for their daughters. Metro Nashville Police Department's cold case unit head, Sergeant Pat Pastiglione, said during the press conference, "We worked relentlessly on that case for the last 4 years. It comes down to persistence, to staying with it, to never giving up." Patrick Streeter attended McGavick High School, where he was a standout athlete on both the football and track and field teams. McGavick High School sound familiar? It should, because that's also where Tiffany Campbell attended school. But that's not where the connections stop. Streeter was also a former boyfriend of Tiffany's. Although Tiffany's mom, Deborah, said they had been broken up for years and were both dating other people at the time of the murders. After the grisly murders in 1996, Streeter moved to Sacramento, California, where he took a job as a high school football coach at Jesuit High School and was also a security guard on the side. Fast forward to 2002. Streeter is arrested in connection to a series of violent robberies, a few involving violence towards women, including attacking an elderly woman armed with a pair of scissors. He pled guilty and was sentenced to 12 years at California State Prison Solano. Officials in this case described him as predatory and violent. Throughout the years, Streeter found himself under the persistent scrutiny of Sergeant Pastiglione and a dedicated team of investigators. It wasn't until a pivotal moment in 2013 that the tables turned dramatically. Sergeant Pastiglione, bearing the weight of years of investigations, finally confronted Streeter with the grave news. He was being officially charged in the savage and heartbreaking murders of Tiffany and Melissa. Among the evidence that led to Streeter's arrest was partial DNA evidence on a knife sheath found at the crime scene, suggestive of a connection to Streeter, although with some uncertainty. The report showed the partial DNA sample showed enough of a possible link to Streeter, although it was a lower probability. Witness testimony from an employee at Exotic Tan for Men indicated Streeter's presence at the venue shortly before the murders, adding to the suspicions. Streeter had come in the day before looking for Tiffany and stormed out when he learned she wasn't there. Moreover, an ex-wife's claim that Streeter owned a similar military-style knife used in the murders deepened the intrigue around his potential involvement. Yet Streeter maintained his innocence, asserting an alibi that placed him miles away at the time of the crime, a claim supported by phone records. Streeter reiterated what he told police at the time. He was at his mother's apartment near Percy Priest Lake. An outgoing call from his phone matches this location, a 7-minute call he made at 11:22 a.m. to his girlfriend in Alabama. Streeter's attorney, Kyle Mothers, had said this proved he didn't do it because there wasn't enough time for him to commit the murders, although the police maintain it could have been anywhere between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., giving him enough time to make the phone call and travel to Church Street to commit the murders. While all of this is in motion, Streeter is still in California, serving the final 2 years of a sentence for violent robbery. Tennessee law enforcement would have to wait until his release in August 2015 to bring justice to Tiffany and Melissa's families. Although Gail Chilton fought hard to get him extradited sooner, even Streeter himself did so. He wrote a letter to News 2 saying, "The families of both victims should know that I am in no way fighting or purposely delaying my extradition." His attorney, Kyle Mothershead, said he wrote several handwritten letters between 2013 and 2014 to Judge Monte Watkins, the public defender's office, and the criminal court clerk. Additionally, Nashville officials were willing to extradite him sooner. California was not. So it wouldn't be until August 2015, 2 years after the indictment and 19 years after the brutal murders, that Streeter would be extradited to Nashville, Tennessee, where he would be held in the Davidson County Jail on a $750,000 bond. Streeter continued to pledge his innocence. "For 19 years now, I have maintained my innocence and denied any involvement in the deaths of Tiffany Campbell and Melissa Chilton." In the somber aftermath of a pivotal 2015 court hearing following Streeter's extradition to Tennessee, the courtroom air was heavy with emotion. Deborah, Tiffany's mother, emerged visibly distraught and profoundly shaken. As Gail recounts, Deborah was overwhelmed to her core, her resolve crumbling under the weight of her grief. Tragically, just 2 weeks later, the heartache proved too much for Deborah's heart to bear, leading to her untimely death from a heart attack. Today she rests in peace beside her beloved daughter Tiffany, united in silence but remembered in the echoes of their story. As Streeter's extradition and subsequent legal battles unfolded, the case took on new dimensions, alternate suspects and conflicting evidence, including a cousin's accusation against another of Tiffany's ex-boyfriends, David Ewing, muddied the waters. The revelation of Ewing's potential confession, though hearsay, added layers of complexity to an already convoluted case. In July 2016, Streeter and his attorney would go in front of the court again, requesting the bond to be lowered. One of the reasons why? Well, according to Streeter's lawyer, Kyle Mothershead, someone had already admitted to the murders. Another former boyfriend of Tiffany Campbell's, David Ewing. And the one pointing the fingers? His cousin, Quentin Hughes. Hughes said Ewing confessed to the murders 2 years after they happened. He confessed while in the middle of killing someone else, a murder which he was convicted for. Apparently, Ewing said he killed Tiffany, but didn't say anything about Melissa. It's worth noting that Ewing had been temporarily released from prison the day before the murders for a funeral furlough. Streeter's attorney presented evidence from a private investigator who discovered an interview with Ewing's ex-girlfriend after the brutal 1996 killings. The ex-girlfriend, Melissa Dickens, said Ewing told her he killed the two young women after stabbing their bed with a knife during a fight. Unfortunately, she passed away in a car crash in 2014, so was no longer able to be questioned. All of this evidence was presented during the bond lowering hearing. Judge Monte Watkins said the defense was asking him to reduce a bond on hearsay. The court doesn't believe that getting testimony from convicted criminals about hearsay is enough to make the court even want to consider reducing a bond in this kind of case. So Judge Watkins decided the $750,000 bond would not be lowered, which meant Streeter went back to jail. It's now 2017, and Streeter has been serving time in Davidson County Jail for over 2 years. The trial is set for January 2018, but then it's November 2017, and the Davidson County District Attorney's Office is requesting more time. They have new evidence that needs to be tested and would not be completed by the January 2018 trial date. I want it to be proven who the killer of my daughter is. I'm all for this DNA testing, said Gail. Mothers had said, they can't say he is included in the DNA pool anymore. The science is exonerating him. This twist led to the reduction of Streeter's bond from $750,000 to $25,000. Streeter's mother said it was the happiest day they had in years and gave honor, praise, and glory to God. I couldn't have asked for a better outcome, she said. And when asked how she felt after the hearing, Gail said, I want to tell Patrick Streeter's mother to put her arms around him and hold him tight. Because you never know when your child is going to be murdered. In a second's notice, you get that phone call. I'm here to testify to that. The families anxiously awaited the testing of the new evidence, holding on to hope that it would either pave the way to justice for their daughters or exonerate Patrick Streeter, thus adding a defining chapter to this complex case. The new evidence included an additional DNA sample from beneath Melissa Chilton's fingernails. With advancements in DNA testing and technology, they reanalyzed the other DNA sample as well. Results less favorable for the prosecution this time around. One lab report mentioned no conclusions could be made on the knife sheath sample in Streeter's DNA. Although according to a Fox 17 news article, there was an email from a different lab analysis that deemed Streeter's DNA still somewhat associated with the knife sheath. Streeter's sample was also tested against the fingernail DNA sample, which excluded him as a contributor. Although worth noting, David Ewing's, the other ex-boyfriend accused of the brutal murders, DNA was tested against the fingernail DNA sample and was deemed inconclusive. June 2018 brought closure to one chapter of the saga as charges against Streeter were dropped, a decision driven by the reevaluation of DNA evidence. The complexities of forensic science, its imperfections, and its evolution stood at the heart of this turn of events, highlighting the ongoing challenges in the pursuit of justice. Streeter told Fox 17 News, I'm thankful for the DNA testing. It was just the end of a very long, difficult process. People that watched the case play out personally apologized to me for maybe distancing themselves. The Davidson County District Attorney's Office no longer believed they had strong enough evidence to get a conviction beyond a reasonable doubt by a jury due to scientific testing and DNA analysis. Streeter's lawyer, Kyle Mothershead, said it wasn't a complete DNA sample. It was broken down, kind of partially degraded. It's an imperfect sample using imperfect technology. After his release, Streeter said he would focus on reconnecting with his children, building a career, and helping young people make the right choices in life. Melissa's mother, Gail, was devastated. You're on the edge of breaking down and then everything stops, said Gail. I couldn't even drive home. Gail said she would never stop seeking justice for her daughter. The pain is always there, said Gail. When you have to keep fighting like this and you have to keep going out there and saying, come on, let's get the killer. Let's get the guy off the street. Let's get the guy that caused all this pain. This turn of events left the victims' families in a devastating limbo, with more questions than answers. Gail Chilton, undeterred, continues to fight for justice for her daughter and other victims of unsolved crimes, channeling her grief into advocacy and legislative change. In May 1997, a bill was proposed by Nashville Mayor Phil Bredesen, Councilman Chris Farrell, and Gail Chilton, aimed at implementing stricter laws pertaining to adult entertainment establishments. Starting May 1999, the Sexual Oriented Business, SOB for short, ordinance, commonly known as the lap dance ban, became effective. Regulations included booths in plain view with no doors or curtains, a 6-foot buffer between patrons and performers on stage. Owners must be licensed and can't have previous convictions for sex crimes. Performers must have a city permit and can't have sex crime convictions. Clubs must be closed by 3 a.m. and can't open before noon on Sundays. The regulations remain in place today, except patrons can be within 3 feet of stages. Gail also plays a crucial role on the Board of Tennessee Voices for Victims, an advocacy group, and appeared before the Tennessee General Assembly earlier this year in support of a law that would allow juries to see photographs of crime victims when the victims were alive. As we conclude this chapter of Murder on Music Row, the mystery of the Tanning Bed murders remains unsolved, a haunting reminder of the elusive nature of truth and the enduring quest for justice. If you have any information related to the murders of Melissa Chilton and Tiffany Campbell, please reach out to the Nashville Police Department's Crime Stoppers Division at 615-74-CRIME. Again, that's 615-742-7463. Thank you for joining us on this journey through one of Nashville's most haunting tales. Stay tuned for more stories from the heart of Music City, where the search for truth plays out against a backdrop of melodies and memories.